Bibles this evening, turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 27 as we start. Brother Matt, what a blessing it was to have you tonight, and he'll come back at the close and sing another song for us. And they're coming back, the Promise Trio, if you've heard of them, Gerald Wolfe of Greater Vision is their producer, and they've sung with Greater Vision a few occasions, and Promise Trio is going to be with us November the 3rd, and we're looking forward to they're coming back and home for homecoming, and Dr. Britt is coming as well that Sunday. And what a blessing that will be. Tonight we're really going to look at a subject that is somewhat personal. This is a congregational counseling time. Is that all right? And God is going to be our counselor. The Holy Spirit will counsel us through His Word. And that's how it works. Praise God for that. And our subject this evening of counsel is anger. Expelling anger. If you find yourself losing your temper at the drop of the hat or dropping the hat yourself, you need to listen up tonight. And whether or not you're a calm and collected person or someone who flies off the handle at any turn, every one of us this evening will at some point struggle with some aspect and some variance of the sin of anger. Tonight what we're talking about is not just the personality trait. It's not some sort of mistake that is made. Tonight we're dealing with a sin. A sin that is serious. It must be dealt with by the grace of God. You'll find it interesting to note tonight that 450 times in your King James Bible, you'll find a reference to anger, wrath, or rage. I think God takes this subject pretty seriously. And as we look towards to what God wants to do in our life, and as we are coming home, as our brother Matt saying, we need to come away from something, and that's sin. And repentance is a mind shift about sin. And sin isn't funny. Sin isn't okay. Sin isn't something you excuse. Sin is something you bring before the throne of God and you confess. And God takes it. And God, by His grace, enables you to live a life for Him. These series of messages are really back-to-school challenges. And as I think about young people in a Christian school, when I talk to young people tonight, as you play sports, an unsaved referee should never call you out or give you a red card because of your anger. I'm tonight talking to parents who call themselves Christians. Your children should never see you interact or communicate with the emotion of unrighteous, ungodly anger. I'm talking to workers and co-workers tonight that go out into this workforce in Wilson and see you as you operate. They should never see you act out in anger or how it's put, go postal on them. I used that phrase once in my last ministry, and I said, well, you should never go postal. And a post service agent came up to me after the service and said, Brother Shakur, I know what you meant by that, but that was a little bit insulting. We've worked hard on that reputation, and I'm really angry by what you just said. He about flew off the handle at me, and I said, sir, I'm sorry I offended you. Please don't go postal on me. And I tried to extend a little bit of an apology there, but whether or not that's the case or not, this is a sin that must be seen from the perspective of God. And as Joseph said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Tonight, as we take the topic of our temper, I want us to first look at the definition of temper. And I want to say that this must be expelled by the grace of God. The definition of anger. Your Bibles are open to Proverbs 27, verse 3. Keep your Bibles going because we're going to look at a lot of Scripture tonight. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 3 says, a stone is heavy, the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. This is a heavy sin. It brings about a heaviness and a seriousness. And this is serious. Heavier than stone, heavier than sand is a fool's wrath. Verse 4. Wrath is cruel, not cool. Wrath is cruel. And anger is outrageous. I thought that was interesting. Your King James Bible said, anger? What's a word for it? It's outrageous. Right? Isn't it outrageous? I've seen people act like complete idiots because of anger. We were down in Branson, and I'm not the best driver, I confess. I'm just not there all the time. I don't purposely do things to bother people when I drive, but I do things to bother people when I drive. And my sons were sleeping in the back seat, and I was in La La Land. And if you've ever been to Branson, it's like car-to-car traffic anyway, and I couldn't get a break in. And finally, I saw one little move, and I saw a way I can get across the lanes. I gunned it, and I made it all the way across, and I was pretty happy with myself. I mean, I thought that was kind of like, I mean, maybe it's because I played Need for Speed so much when I was a kid and played video games. I was getting in there, and all of a sudden, this guy on the left-hand side started railing on his horn. I said, "What's wrong with him?" I guess I cut him off. I cut him off. Okay, so I'm going, "Sorry, sorry." And he kept going. He kept coming at me. And I said, "Okay, well, maybe he's going to come on by." He cut to the left side of me, pulled out in front, slammed on his brakes. I slammed on mine. He got out of his car, and I've never seen anybody so mad in my life. His face was bright red. He was a middle-aged man. He was out of control. He started walking towards me. He was really... I mean, it was like I enraged a bull, and he was coming towards me, and I was not concealing and carrying. I'm glad he wasn't, because that man might have met his maker sooner than he wanted to, because I had two little boys sleeping in the back seat, and he came towards me, and I opened the car door, and I said, as he approached, wife's witness, I said, very calmly, "Sir, you need to get in control of yourself." "I'm sorry, but you need to get in control." He just stopped, turned around, went to his car. And I love my wife. She was pretty cool and collected through the whole thing. She said, "Somebody's not having a nice vacation." And he wasn't. There's one word to say about what happened. It was outrageous. What is anger? Anger is outrageous. And well, it's outrageous. What else? Well, it's contentious. I really like it when people say amen in a church service. I love it. It's like saying sick 'em to a dog. I mean, I'm telling you, I know that you're awake. I know that you're paying attention. I really like it. But in this one point, I'm going to ask you to consider it before you say amen. Scripture says that a hermit's life is preferred over one with an angry spouse. All right, you guys are pretty smart. I probably should include a nodding the head, but hey, that's good. That's good. Proverbs 21, verse 19 says, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." Amen. The Bible says that. All right, that's okay, brother. Proverbs 27, verse 15. "A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike." Woo! Glory. Anger is outrageous. Anger is contentious. And the Bible says it's contagious. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 24. "Make no friendship," the Bible says. Don't even be friends with an angry man. "And a furious man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul." In high school, I discovered that my last name was the same name as a very prominent rapper during that time. My last name is Shakur, and I heard Tupac Shakur, and so I became Tupac II Shakur, and I listened to all his filth and his anger. It really just changed who I was. And if you've ever heard rap music, it's a very violent, angry genre, and I was listening to this stuff, and I became an angry person because of the music I was listening to. I'd fly off the handle, and for years I realized that really the source of this was the friendship I was making with the world when it came to music, and I surrender my music, and God took my anger. By the way, young people, I can tell what kind of person you are by what kind of music you listen to. Very how you sit, how you think, how you walk is pretty much what kind of music you got going on. Parents, you ought to check the iPods and iPad, whatever things are going on. They got little earbuds in the ear. I'm pretty certain, most likely, they may not be listening to hymns. They might be. There's not many hymns on the downloads today. Take a look. Definition of anger. It's an unrighteous, ungodly act. Unrighteous anger is an ungodly act. It's an emotional sin choice. Just like lust, pride, envy. It ruins relationship. It hinders health. It stops the filling of the Spirit. It's a sin, most importantly tonight, that set the Savior on the cross of Calvary. It put Jesus on the cross. Jesus died for the sin of your anger. I've heard it said that, well, I'm just Mediterranean, and I just feel like blowing people up all the time. Well, have you heard this? I've got an Irish temper. I'm half Mediterranean, half Irish. I guess I could have a whole lot of excuses tonight. But the Bible says they are without excuse. Number one, the definition of anger. Some will say it's heredity. And in a way, they're right, because generational sins are very real, but for those that hate God, it's not a hereditary issue, it's a heart issue tonight. Guard the heart, for out of it are the issues of life. And this is a very serious issue. Number one, the definition tonight. Number two, the illustration of anger. Time is short, but we're going to hear from God tonight. Numbers chapter 20, if you would, this evening, Numbers chapter 20. We're going to meet a man tonight who lost much because of a moment of anger. Numbers chapter 20, we meet a man by the name of Moses. And I love Moses. He's one of my heroes. And Moses was called by God the meekest man of the earth. What does that mean? Meekness is strength under control. He was a man known for his control. But a man, even a man that was predisposed to peace, even a man that was most of the time easygoing and meek, he still lost control. Numbers 20, verse 10, you know what happened? Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together and said, "Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And he lifted up his hand and he smote the rock twice. Moses missed out on the promised land because of a moment of angry disobedience. This evening, what are you going to miss out on because of anger? What blessings will you miss out from God? What sin struggles will you have because of anger? How did this man, this meek man, make this wrong choice? By the way, if Moses could make this wrong choice, so could you. A man like Moses, who did things for God, who saw the burning bush, who brought forth the tablets of God. Someone said that Israel gave him such a headache, God gave him two tablets. I don't know if that's true or not, but Moses was a good man. He was a godly man, but he still missed out on anger. And if Moses couldn't get a pass, neither can we. I want you to notice from verse 1 why Moses made this choice. Look at verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin, or Sin, in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there. Did you get that? And was buried there. This is a time of sadness for Moses. The chapter starts with his sister dying. It closes with his brother dying. And isn't it true, in moments of sadness, there is the temptation to demonstrate emotion in your life. And be sure, folks, that emotion is not anger. It's fine to be emotional. It's good to be emotional. Emotion is real, but emotional, that's spiritual. It's that which of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. What's the next word? Temperance. That's where the word temper comes from. When you lose your temper, you're losing your temperance, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Moments of sadness bring about this temptation. I'll be transparent with you. Last May, many of you might remember, and those of you that are visiting tonight, we had a very tragic thing that happened in our family. My wife's grandfather was brutally murdered on a highway in Mississippi. I don't know if anybody really knew all the struggles we went through during that time, but it was hard. He was 74 years of age. He didn't go of natural causes. This was a very sudden and severe snatching of a man we all loved. He was the nicest. He came to our service once. He was kind of sat in the back. He was a nice, kind, calm, considerate gentleman. And a man on the highway, for $700, took out his gun with his partner and shot him down. I'll confess to you, there are moments of anger. Now, not as much with anger with each other. My wife puts up with a lot with me. She deserves a medal and of honor for what she goes through. But not as much with each other, although I'll tell you transparently, you show me a couple that doesn't have tension, and I guarantee one of them is in a coma. It's true. You do have times of attention. But I was angry. I was angry at the detectives. They weren't doing their job. They were just kind of out there. I was saying, "You got to do this." I watched all the shows. I was trying to help them out. I read Hardy Boys. And Check this out. "Well, we're down here in Mississippi and we're working on things." Well, I was upset. Get on the ball. I was angry. We're angry with the killer. Why would he do that? And I'll confess to you tonight transparently, sometimes I'm angry with the justice system, for it's been over a year and he's still sitting in prison without a trial. Moment of sadness snatch our soul, but friends, we're not to operate out of the soul, we're to operate out of the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. If you keep operating, there's a difference there. Now, this isn't a message tonight, but there's the soul and there's the Spirit. David had to get his soul straight. The soul is that emotional part of you. And friends, if you operate out of the soul, you're going to mess yourself up. You can't operate out of the soul. You're going to walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The illustration of anger, moments of sadness, but moments of stress. Look at verse number 2. And there was no water for the congregation. It's been hot recently. I guarantee, give you one day without water or air conditioning. Watch what happens. They're in the middle of the desert. Middle of nowhere. No water. Moses' sister had just died. It's a time of stress. You can put anything there you want. No money. No friends. No whatever you want. When you're lacking something and there's stress that develops, there's the temptation. Verse 2 continues, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people chode. Now that word in the Hebrew is they screamed at him. Have you ever had somebody stand in your face and scream at you? That's not fun. It really isn't. Have you had even somebody criticize you? That's not fun either. The boss just comes up and puts down a criticism, and what do? You take it home on your family, or you something goes wrong, and there's any sort of stress that happens. But this is pretty stressful. The people are screaming at him, Moses, why'd you do this? There's no water. His sister has just died. He's stressed out. He's sad. Moses, they said to Moses, would we not have died? There's no water to drink. Times of sadness and stress, especially people problems, with their criticism and their complaints, cause us to have temptations of anger. I think of the Marine, I don't have too much time, but the Marine that was in a diner came into the diner and a sailor was sitting in his seat. He was very angry at that sailor and he said, get out of my seat. And the Marines and the Navy, they don't necessarily get along too well, and the sailor would not move. He said, this is my seat. The Marine walked up to him, being trained. He beat him black and blue. A man fell unconscious to the ground, and by the time the Marine was walking out, he said, by the way, when he comes through, tell him that was Judo from Japan. The next day, the very same thing happened. The sailor was sitting in his seat, and he got beat up again. He would not move. This time he walked out and said, make sure when he comes to you, tell him that was karate from Korea. The third day, would you believe it, that sailor was still sitting in his seat, and the Marine got very enraged and angry and said, get out of that seat. I'm going to teach you a lesson. But this time, the sailor stood up and beat him. The Marine was unconscious on the ground, and the sailor said, when he wakes up, tell him that was Crowbar from Sears. People make you do crazy things. Sadness and stress make you do crazy things. They're not offering suggestions. They're screaming at him. His sister's dead. All this stress is happening. He's thirsty. All these things are happening. But friends, it still wasn't an excuse for what he did. Because the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, also provide a way of escape. He's not going to put something on you can't bear. And God meets him there in Numbers 20. If you read the context, he says, go speak to the rock. What does God want to do in moments of stress and sadness? He wants you to take it to Jesus. He wants you to carry it to Jesus. He wants you to talk to Jesus. That rock, that spiritual rock, was Christ. When you're stressed out, when you're sad, don't take it out on your spouse. Don't take it out on your cat even. Take it to Christ in prayer. God can handle it. God can deal with it. Hey, by the way, don't take it to another church member. If they're not a part of the problem or solution, don't talk to them about it. That'll help you on a whole lot of problems. If a person's not a part of the problem or the solution, they don't have a right to know. Your stress, your sadness, and then your sin. Moses, when he struck the rock, by the way, earlier God had instructed Moses to strike the rock. But this time he said, speak to the rock. Why? Because the rock was Jesus Christ, and Jesus was only smitten once for sin. So what Moses did with his anger and disobedience, he clouded that picture of Christ. And friend, think about this. When you sin, especially with anger, you look nothing like Jesus. You cloud the picture of Christ to this world. You cloud the picture of Christ to your family. You cloud the picture of Christ. But the Spirit of God is trying to work in your life. I see some issues here with anger. I see some, this is a side note, but I got to mention this from the Word of God to look at it. You see some things about Moses' statement in verse 10 that's very, very indicative of what happens when you're angry. Notice, he had cynicism and sarcasm. Look, he said, "Hear now, ye rebels." Be very, very careful when you put categorical names on people. "My co-worker is lazy." You're dealing with a sin of anger. When you start naming things for people, it's not right. We're not the judge, unless we be judged. "Ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock?" Sarcasm. I like wit. I like some aspects of sarcasm, but I got to be careful. I do. Why? Because the literal meaning of sarcasm is to cut the flesh. You know, it's fine to have fun, okay? And you've got thin skin, I'm sorry, okay? But I'll be nice. But if it's not funny to the person, it's not funny at all, right? It's fine to pick back and forth. I'm not saying do anything straightforward all the time. But if it's not funny to the person, it's not funny. And many times, passive-aggressively, we act out in anger, starting with cynicism and sarcasm. "Must we fetch you water out of the rock?" Here's pride. Selfishness. Moses had nothing to do with that miracle. He was just told to speak to the rock. He didn't infuse water into the rock. "Must we?" I thought of the Lone Ranger when I heard that statement. You know, the Lone Ranger was in the canyon with Tonto, and he was there backed up into the corner, surrounded by savages, and the Lone Ranger said, "What are we going to do, Tonto?" And Tonto answered, "Who's we, Kemosabe?" Moses, "Who's we, Kemosabe?" He had nothing to do with this. What happens? We blow ourselves out of proportion. Was it making a mountain out of a molehill? "Must we fetch you water out of the rock?" God did more than bring water out of a rock. He parted the Red Sea. He did so many miracles for me. If Moses just thought about what he used to do, Moses went to God before and said, "Don't kill him. Don't take." God wanted to destroy the nation, and Moses, what did he do? He interceded on their behalf. The Lord isn't cynical towards us, is he? No. He loves us. He calls us his child. The Lord isn't just quick to, he doesn't sarcastically speak to us, does he? He speaks words of love and comfort to us. The Lord is long-suffering. Here's the key for anger. The Lord is long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. "Well, Pastor Shakur, somebody wronged me. I have a right to be angry." No, you don't. You have a right to pray for their repentance. That's what God wants. He wants their repentance. And I know I'm right with God when I think of my wife's grandfather's killer. When I think of punishment and pain, I'm not right with God. And I believe there ought to be justice. That man that was on the cross, he served the just punishment for his deeds. Yes, I'm a believer in the death penalty, okay? If you don't like it, I'm sorry. The Bible teaches it. But we're not to want that affliction of pain. That's supposed to happen. When I pray for his salvation and I pray for his repentance, that's when I know I'm in with God's program. Pray for them. Pray for them. When Moses prayed for, interceded to God for Israel, he was in line with what God wanted him to do. Tonight I want to see, you know, I don't want to leave you with a problem. I'm going to give you the solution tonight. What's the prescription for anger? Medically speaking, this is a serious problem. Medically speaking, someone who has anger in their life is a higher risk of death than someone who smokes, drinks, or overeats. It's a serious sin. If you look at anger and what it does in one's body, anger develops digestive disorders, it develops heart issues, and even can cause stroke. I know of people who've lost their health, lost their testimony, lost their children, lost their marriage, lost their job, lost their opportunities, lost their friends because of anger. I know of one man who, in a rage, disciplined what he said was discipline to his son. He caused bruising over his body. What he said was discipline, the court said, and I believe common sense in the Bible would say, is abuse. You should never act out in anger to your children. I believe in discipline, but not angry discipline. He's serving 10 years in prison. Lost his family right now. I know of co-workers in my last ministry, a very large Christian ministry, that just got upset and angry and they lost their jobs. They walked out in anger and they lost their jobs because of this sin. It's a very serious sin and there is a prescription tonight. What is it? Expel it. How? Number one, do we expel it through repression? If you were to go to the world and go to the psychologist today and sit down with a worldly psychologist, and by the way, our counseling program was not worldly counsel. If you were to sit down with a psychologist, there are divided aspects to what to do with anger. There are some strategies of repression. We're to repress our anger. But friend, that's just lying to yourself. That's saying, I'm not mad. I'm not. They'll tell you to talk to yourself. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. And you know it. If you're mad, you're mad, and you know it, okay? You can't just talk yourself out of the sin. Repression is not the answer. Suppression is not the answer. What's that? There's some strategies out there today of suppression. What's that? That's lying to others. That's admitting it. I know I'm angry, but they will never see it. Say, suppress your anger. Acknowledge it to yourself. I'm angry. But I won't show it. That's not going to work. That's going to turn you into a cuckoo bird. Repression is not the answer. Suppression is not the answer. You know, even now, this is actually a very, very popular method of instruction. Expression is the answer. Have you seen it? Get a baseball bat and beat up something. Call it your mother and beat it. I mean, I'm telling you, that's real. They'll tell you to do that. Get a baseball bat, beat up a car, smash it to pieces, call it your mother, your friend, or your dad, or whatever you don't like, and that's going to get it all out. No. If Joey does that, he gets spanked. Expression's not the answer. That's like temper tantrum. That's not the answer. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Proverbs 25:28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Cain in Genesis 4:5 was very wroth and his countenance fell. How do you know if you're angry? Your countenance shows it. You've seen an angry person. They start to develop lines of stress and anger in their mouth and their face. His countenance fell. He was very wroth. The Lord said, why art thou wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? And he said something that's very important in the subject. He said, sin lieth at the door. God looked at Cain. He was starting to get angry. He really had no right to be angry. He was just jealous. He was just angry. And a lot of times we think we have this right. We don't have a right at all to be angry. We don't. You don't have a right to be ungodly, unrighteously angry. You have a right to be angry at your sin. That's righteous anger. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be angry at your sin. Confess it to God. He didn't have a right. He took this and God said, please, if you allow this anger to continue in your life, if you allow it just to fester in your mind, sin lies at the door. What was he saying? He said, if you carry anger to its conclusion, if you take sin to its conclusion, this demonic conclusion of anger is death. And what did he do because of his anger? He murdered his brother. I don't think Cain woke up one morning and said, I'm going to kill my brother because I'm angry. But he did. Why? Because the Bible says that when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, what? Bringeth forth death. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's all in James chapter 1. It bringeth forth death. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It works the flesh and it works demonic destruction. So you go to God and say, God, forgive me. What's the answer? Number one, it's confession. If you're angry, and you got angry, by the way, if you start continuing to do this, if you have lust, what do you say? I got lust. I don't have lust. I don't have lust. I don't have lust. Do you act out in lust? No. No. You confess it. It's sin. Say, God, forgive me for my anger. I should not have been angry. Forgive me my anger. And then your very next step is intercession. God, forgive me. And God, forgive them. That's what Moses did when he was right with God. It's hard to be mad at someone and angry when you're talking to God. Because He took all of our sin on the cross of Calvary. He did everything for us. He loves us. When you start plugging into prayer, I don't know about you, but you can't be angry at anyone. My goodness, you think about everything God has for you in glory. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We have a home in heaven. We have a hope that's eternal. We have everything in Christ. Why are we so stressed out and sad about things in this life? It's not about what's going on down here. We got a home up there. When you start plugging into prayer, you can't be angry. When you start plugging into prayer for somebody else, that anger just disappears, doesn't it? That's what Moses did before he prayed for them. Some other strategies from Scripture, and you can write these down or you can consider them. Of course, there's confession, there's intercession. What subcategories is, of course, we've seen supplication, pray. Let me add supplication next to Scripture. What does James chapter 1 say? The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But it says, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. If you're saying, God, I don't know what to do. I'm angry, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me my sin. Lord, please, I confess it as sin before you. God, I ask that you would forgive this person. What did Jesus pray on the cross of Calvary? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I've actually prayed that. Someone cuts me off in traffic. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That person really didn't know what they were doing. Please pray for them. Forgive them. Forgiveness is giving for. Forgive them. But God, you go to, what do I do? When you don't know what to do, what do you do? Go to the book. And God will give you a word from the word. To show you exactly what to do. Supplication. Secondly, Scripture. And I find this interesting in the book of Proverbs, speaking softly. Proverbs 15, verse 1. I think a lot of times we actually apply this one way, we don't apply it the other. But Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. We always say, if you speak softly, you'll make somebody not as mad. But it doesn't actually say that. It just says it turns away wrath, yours and theirs. A soft answer turns away wrath. If you choose to speak softly, I believe that your wrath will be turned away. I think that's an application from the Word of God. Soft answer turneth away wrath. You choose how to talk. We do. The soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Don't use grievous words. Angry words. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. The mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Supplication, Scripture, speaking softly. I like this. Showing love. Proverbs 21, verse 14. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. You want to pacify someone's anger? You want to pacify your own? Get plugged into what God calls love. Love. Love covereth the multitude of sins. It does. When you start loving on somebody, you can't really see their problems and their faults. Because you love them. A gift in secret pacifieth anger. I like Romans 12, verse 20. Proverbs 25, verse 22 says this as well. Proverbs 25, 22, Romans 12, 20, if you're taking notes. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, beat him. No. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, some of you might say, I really like that one. That means I can burn his hair. No. In Bible times, when you would heap coals of fire on somebody's head, the act of repentance was demonstrated publicly through sackcloth and ashes. And God's saying, if you want to usher somebody into repentance, do something nice for them. Supplication, speaking softly, Scripture, showing love, finally sanctifying God, most important part of this. Look back at Numbers chapter 20 as we close. Numbers 20, verse 12. Numbers 20, verse 12, it says, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. Moses, Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. That's the punishment. You didn't believe me. You didn't sanctify me. So you're going to be judged. But if you could kind of flip that this evening. What should have Moses done? He should have believed God. God told him what to do. Speak to the rock. God didn't tell him to be angry. God told him to love and forgive and be a leader, not be angry. You should have believed God. Hey, God got this, right? We said that this morning. God got this. He's still on the throne, amen? He still gets the final say. God is God. Anger is just an expression of your unbelief in God. Because if we truly believed God, we would believe His Word. We would trust His Word. Believe God and sanctify Him. What's that? That setting of Him apart. That's making Him so holy and so important to you that you can't even think about acting out in anger. Because God is so real to you. That is the prescription for anger. I like how Numbers 20 closes, verse 27. He's given another command. This time his brother dies and God says, here's what I want you to do. He does it. Notice what he says in verse 27. And Moses did as the Lord commanded. I want to read just a passage of Scripture. God gave this to me before the service. I know we're over tonight, but God gave this to me tonight. This is serious. I'm going to ask Brother Matt to come, and Brother Matt's going to play here in a moment. But allow the Word to speak to you, okay? Again, the Word of God is the counselor. Not me. Not you. Not some psychologist. The Word of God is the counselor. The Word of God says in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. Imagine if the Spirit of God was... He is. He's speaking to you right now. This isn't my words. This is the words of the Spirit. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's all stand tonight. Do you want to be blessed in your deed? Friend, if you've got a sin of anger tonight, don't be like that man who sees himself in the natural face, natural glass. The Holy Spirit, tonight, if you know you're struggling with this area, you ought to humble yourself before the sight of God and He'll lift you up.